Simpson. And Japan have gone absolutely without lead. This is Whitmore. Hall and Gale both available. It's still Whitmore. It is the Reggae Boys who take the lead.
Ball shot. Greetings, football family. Happy football Sunday to the family. Welcome to Ball Chat Podcast. A sunny, well, not sunny, a snowy winter mix in the air. My name is Benton, one of your hosts, along with the family. Come on, Junior. Well, go on, family. On a steer. And by the way, family, sorry for the late start. Did I watch West Indies cricket?
Not we. Them did not watch cricket. I mean, I'd rather out there shovel snow than watch West Indies play. Everything good. You know?
Everything is well. Snow, Junior asked how the match go. West Indies lost by 2 wickets, Junior. All the cricket fans, big up for yourself. West Indies is there. Right, come on.
No.
Come on, them worthless, man.
Julia, West Indies lost to Ireland by 2 wickets. This is the first time Ireland is defeating a member nation since what? Zimbabwe. And I must say 2000 how long.
Yo, I would know we talk football, you know, but it's my first time seeing cricket in years, like live. You know how embarrassing it is to see a game at Sabina Park and the stands empty? Good God, man.
All right, let's get to the football segment. So, football family, welcome to Ball Chat Podcast. So, Junior, how you doing, though, family? Because, you know, West Indies aside, how you doing?
I don't know if I should, if I was planning to be on Ball Chat today. Rumors have it that I was told that I wasn't ready to go to Ball Chat.
Okay, I wonder why.
I had my Anthony Marshall moment.
You're refusing. All right, football family, welcome to Ball Chat Podcast. We review some of the week's major news in the world of football. It's a live and interactive show. First and foremost, I want to thank you guys for joining us. Really appreciate you taking the time for joining us. And, you know, roll in. We're going to definitely discuss African Cup of Nations. Take a look at the lay of the land in African Cup of Nations. As the Super Eagles look like the standard bearer, Super Eagles of Nigeria looks like the standard bearer in the competition. We'll recap Manchester City 1-0 defeat of Chelsea. As Thomas Tuchel said, yo, Lukaku need to pass to himself, create for himself. We'll discuss what's going on with Chelsea and Tuchel and world things are going on over there. So, you know. Then we'll also recap postponements in the EPL as Tottenham Hotspurs officially said out a statement and said, yo, Arsenal are run, pretty much, to paraphrase. We'll discuss yard ballers and highlight Jamaican footballers. Nana Lowe, big up yourself. Damian Lowe signed contract with Inter Miami as he will join up with the MLS. And big and serious, we'll also take a look back at Rafa Benitez, 6 months in charge of Everton. But we start off with ballers and bugs. Come on, who do you have as your baller of the week, family? And football family, we want to reiterate, we're sorry we are late. The reason why we're late is because we're watching West Indies versus Ireland. So our apologies. Really sorry for the 2-3 minutes late start. All right, ballers of the week. Big up yourself, El Pistolero. Hope all is well, family. Come on, ballers, who do you have?
For my baller, I am giving it to Jack Harrison of Leeds. He had a hat-trick versus West Ham. And Luka Modric, I mean, the old man, he had a spectacular goal today for Real Madrid versus Atletico Bilbao for them to win the trophy. So I'm just giving it to those two ballers this weekend because this week was kind of like blah.
All right, come on. So I'm depressed with the ballers from weeks now. The ballers, them have been depressing coming from. Come on. Junior, would you have liveled up yourself and give us some baller vibes now, please? Junior, we have.
You know, I'll give it to Fabinho because Fabinho seems to be a forgotten man at Liverpool, right? And we talk about the team that get hurt by the AFCON. And there's so much uncertainty every time around Liverpool. But there are certain players that are consistent. I have to give it to Fabinho. Give it to the whole Liverpool. I know it's just Brentford. Me know. But still, that three love win today was impressive. I have to give it to Manchester City for just continue winning. Pep is proving why he's the best coach in the world. Also, I would give it to Real Madrid. Luka Modric definitely come on, but the whole Real Madrid, they seem to just always find a way to rise to the top in a bug league, in a bug situation. But the man, them just, yo, plus our Super Cup winners, you have to give them the props.
Yeah, big up Real Madrid and Benzema. Big up yourself. Yo, my ballers of the week, football family, I see you running in. Big up yourself, Owen Gray. Big up El Pistolero. El Pistolero says, Benzema, I'm giving it to Benzema. He's been all consistent over the years. Big up yourself, Benzema. Owen Gray giving ball off the week to Felipe Coutinho. I'm surprised that none of the other co-hosts them never give Coutinho ball off the week. I wonder what won, especially...
I'm sorry, it was on my list. It was down further on my piece of paper. My apologies. Coutinho is also my baller. I am sorry. Stop a goal and an assist as a substitute. Somebody messaged me and asked me if Leon Bailey is in trouble. We'll touch on that later on. We're talking about teams in the Premier League. But my apologies. Coutinho is also on my list of baller. Well deserved. That red string for him and for Messi finally, I bring him good luck.
I was more thinking that Junior would be the one who would give Coutinho ball of the week still.
We don't give ball of the week for 10 minutes. But a move up, man.
one goal and one assist, Junior. He snatched 3 points from you. He should get it. Oh, my God. He's a buyer.
Yeah, ball of the week to Felipe Coutinho. Big up Owen Gray for highlighting Felipe Coutinho's exceptional player. In a short, 10, 20 minutes on the field, he was impressive. But my ballers of the week, I want to give ball of the week first and foremost to Moussa Camara of Sierra Leone. Yes, Sierra Leone. Yes, them play football at Sierra Leone. Sierra Leone drew 2-2 with big bad Ivory Coast. Imagine Serge Aurier, Wilfred Saha, Eric Bailly, Sebastian Hellier. Who else? Frank Kessie. The names on that Ivory Coast team was impressive. Impressive list of starters. Fancy name, bright lights. But Sierra Leone did not back down. So they drew 2-2 with them. So big up, big ballers of the week to Moussa Camara. Scored a wonderful goal in Africa, African Cup of Nations as Sierra Leone drew 2-2 with Ivory Coast. And Nicolas Pepe, higher purchase baller, is also part of the Ivory Coast outfit. So big up to Sierra Leone. And of course, ball of the week to Super Eagles, Nigeria. Yes, I don't know who's watching Africa, but I think Nigeria has been the best looking team in this tournament. The man that played them ball, Kelechi Iheanacho, Wilfred Ndidi, Moses Simon, ball of the week to them. Nigeria looks like the standard bearer in this tournament. And of course, big ball of the week. Welcome back to the park, Felipe Coutinho. Glad to see you back on the grass. Ball of the week performance. Those are my ballers of the week. Let's get to bugs of the week. Are the unimpressive players. Come on. Who do you have?
I think one of the biggest bugs this week, it should be, I think his name is Johnny or Hani Sikazwe. He's the referee. The referee in the Tunisia game. He blew off the game 2 times before the 85th minute. And even when he gave a player a red card for a foul, he went back to the monitor. Everybody saw what he was looking at. VAR assistant said, it's not a red, give him a yellow. But the referee still insists that he's going to stick to his red when it never really was a red. But it's so funny because he was in trouble for match fixing a couple of years ago. So it was a little bit off. And to blow the game off, that means the two watch them on him and now work. And his referee crew now work. I don't think there was any clocks in the stadium. But to blow the match off 2 times before the 85th minute, it is worthy.
He had an appointment, come on.
Worthy.
He had an appointment. He need to get to where
the memes were funny. So he's bug worthy. Everton lose to Norwich. That any other game, Norwich, their first win of the season. You are a bug. That's why Rafa gets fired. Chelsea, Lukaku, and Titi gets my bug. Why? Chelsea is not a well-oiled machine anymore. Lukaku, I understand the midfield was non-existent, but he had a couple clear-cut chances too that he did not capitalize on. And he just looks like a shell of the player that they thought they were going to get when they spent $100 million from Inter. And Titi, for basically throwing Lukaku under the bus. I think the relationship between Titi and Lukaku is beyond repair. He singled him out, and I did not like that about him because the whole team stunk. So the referee, Chelsea, Lukaku, Titi, and Everton, they all get my butt.
Yep. We'll definitely recap Chelsea versus Manchester City and the fallout from that. But yes, the referee in that game, he needed... Referee Johnny had an appointment, blew off the game, what, 5 minutes earlier than established. We're in Ballers and Bugs segment, family. Welcome to Ball Chat Podcast. Ballers been impressive players and Bugs been the unimpressive players. Junior, who do you have as your bug of the week, family?
Yeah, but for double up, I walk about with Johnny, you know, but the Afghan, whoever is responsible for scheduling the referees and finding the referees, to ref these games, because I've seen that article where they are saying, why are American refs in the AFCON, right? I'm pretty sure it's why are. I don't think it's why aren't. I saw something earlier saying that. So if you are bringing in foreign referees, how the hell you find a referee where have questions about integrity and put him into a game? Something is wrong with that picture. And there's no way we can take the AFCON serious after this debacle, right? So the organizers of AFCON need to be taken to task. The German coaches in the English Premier League, the new German coaches are bugs, because it is not coincidental. Both Thomas Tuchel and Ralf Rangnick made the same exact mistake over the same game weekend, by trying to deflect from their team's performance and throwing a player under the bus. A black player under the bus. Now, big up to United Stan. Goldbridge brought this up. I actually believe and have the same point, but I heard Goldbridge bring it up, talking about the poor choices by Ralf Rangnick to throw Marshall under the bus. And then we know I can sit down now and say, oh, racism must stop. Well, Ralf, are you called racism for Marshall? So the German coaches that are new to the English Premier League probably are new to the English press, new to the English social media. They are learning right now from their PR departments. Shut the hell up when you're talking about black players. You are about to throw them to the wolves. So those two coaches get my bug of the week as well.
All right. Yeah, CONCACAF did have I think one or two referees in the AFCON competition. But, you know, referee Johnny is from CAF, from Confederation of African Football. Right. Come on. CONCACAF didn't send a fishy ref, a suspicious ref, a referee with a checkered pass to the tournament. Right. Just to be clear.
If we not we know of.
not that we know of. Yes.
No, you know which game them info got ref? Yeah, and this is no disrespect to my African football them. But you see the video them with the man them where we are Jesus slippers and a salad people and pirate people, and them game them for got ref.
He was actually taken to the hospital, so I doubt he'll be given any more games to referee in it. And to touch on, I mean, I know you're talking about your coach, because you can't talk about TT. I mean, like, really. But I can't put all the blame on the coaches when it comes to the racism or the racist behavior by the fans. They've always been like that. I mean, even without TT throwing Lukaku under the bus, Lukaku has had that issue too, even when Jose Mourinho singled him out. It's just the fans are just racist and nothing they could have. He could score 3 goals this week. You're still going to see him get racist comments. So I'm not going to blame your coach. it is just weird that is a he said situation, because now that the relationship there is completely soured, because the coach is saying he's doing something and the player is saying he's not doing it. So who do you believe? How do they move on from there? Martial to Arsenal and just keep it moving.
Wait, but you know Tuchel is the same thing, because Tuchel came out last week and said, bygones be bygones, we're done. The player pay him, fine, him gone, blah, 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 blah. What Tuchel said yesterday is, you can't come out and complain about system and you're not scoring. That is
who believe that it was... Listen, we might think players and coaches are robots. They're not. They're human beings. Them old grudges like me and you. You understand? They're whole grudges like me and you. So if a player come out and criticize a coach in public, is that coach going to laugh and say, he paid a fine, let's move on. And on the back of his mind, he's like, as him slip, him slide. And that's what happened. I don't think that relationship can be repaired. And I think if he was a 20 million pound player, I think we would see him rub the bench more than anything else. But it's hard to justify rubbing the bench. That is a player who cost 100 million to rub the bench. I think if TT had his way, he would be a little bit like, sorry, Loftus-Cheek, Hudson-Odoi, a Pulisic, you know. So it is going to be interesting, but I think the relationship was actually soured when he came out and he criticized the coach. Because I can't criticize my boss in public, so publicly, and then go back and say, you know what, my bad, let us move on. Yes, I will forgive you, but I won't forget. And that's what's going to happen.
And that is my issue. And we talk about it off here all the time with world football. If I cannot be a coach and discipline my players, I don't care how much money it takes for bring you in. If you come in and disrespect me and my program, you're sitting on the bench, rotting on the bench until you go up on your knees and crawl and beg for come back and play. That is how it should
have. You can't justify it. $100 million player. Just you can't do that with a 15 and a 3 million and a 5 million player, right? You put the person who you brought in to be the face of the club. Let us face it. He was brought in to be the face. They were going to build around Lukaku, right? So now, how do you justify this? Like, every week we turn on the TV, we see the lineup. He's on the bench. We don't think it's a chance to lose their mind.
All right. So maybe ask you this then, because I'm not going to make it about Manchester United at all, right? But rumor has it that the Manchester United players that are turning against Ralph is the English coalition, right? We sit down and we talk about Rashford, how Rashford look. I would talk about how Sancho, how much money Man U play for Sancho, and Sancho now play good, right? Elanga play ball yesterday, right? Why should Ralph sit Elanga and play Rashford the next game or play Sancho the next game? The only unfortunate thing for Tuchel is he doesn't have Tammy Abraham. He doesn't have somebody that can put up the score. Because that's all he wants now is just find some striker. Take some striker out of the academy, come out and score against Man City. Right? And that will justify Lukaku rotting on the bench, which is where he should be.
I don't agree that he should be. I think he can contribute. I think, and people will cuss me, but I am a Chelsea fan and I can say this. I think Lukaku is a bully, a man with no particular skill. He cannot take a man on one-on-one and twist up him ankles and block him. He's a push down and run player. And let us be honest, sometimes the game needs that kind of player, but not all the time. You need a creative player. I would not be surprised if that man got to Timo Werner and said to him, listen, we're going to put this man on the bench a little bit. I need you to come out and show. Any old Timo Werner come out and score in a two game back to back, we're not care for Norwich, Everton, we not care who. Any old team of Werner, the German come out and score and whatever. I just think it's life outfit Lukaku. The problem is, I don't think there's anybody who will take him for the price that Chelsea paid for him.
Right. So, let me go through these comments real quick.
Junior, we need to give back the show. Sorry. We need to give back the show to the family because we're going to run wide. And we're supposed to have a guest coming on, Javin Brown, Vancouver Whitecaps. Javin's Brown, Reggae Boys. Javin Brown's supposed to be joining.
White Caps, sir.
Thank you. Vancouver Whitecaps. Javin Brown's supposed to be joining us. I just got a message that he's joining in. So, yeah, I'm going to get you where we are, get you and before the ball are forward. So, we know Manchester United and Chelsea take over the show. Them bugs are there.
Jamai said Bogzar did till and his baller at Juventus and BVB. Lejean David says, watching Chelsea lose on Saturday gave me life. Title United drawing to Villa was expected. United gonna be good contenders for the Europa Conference League next season.
He also said that
players around him. He had way better players at Inter to give him service. Lukaku cannot play a Burnley ball with Chelsea. Did Chelsea got the United Lukaku? United is known for wasting players. Depay, Di Maria, Lukaku, and now Sancho. Wasted club. Prime Minister said, that's unfair to Lukaku. The man is an intelligent baller that uses his body and skill set.
I mean, using body, bully. Skill set is limited. Listen, don't get me wrong. I mean, you have to be able to be... score some goals and whatever to get the kind of name as a good striker as Lukaku. But his skill sets are limited. El Pizarro is saying Ivory Coast gave away the game with the chance they got, true. And he's saying that FSG get the bug for me because all know they can't start out Salah contract. So El Pizarro, are you saying that Mo Salah is worth £400,000 a week?
Yes, he is. He is. Now, granted, Liverpool probably not going to pay him. And they might try short change him on. But if Gareth Bale can get whatever I might get to play golf, and word is that he's getting more than £400,000 a week, Mohamed Salah should get him £400,000 a week. I'm sorry.
Well, the person that we should blame is Mo Salah's agent and not Liverpool.
Yeah.
So if Mo Salah, he will now have to decide if he wants to be loyal and stick to the $200,000 that they're willing to pay him, or he's going to go somewhere. Because another club will pay him
$400,000.
Yeah. Not Tottenham. Maybe not an Arsenal, but another club.
Yeah,
no,
that somebody else. Yeah, if he wants his money, we'll get it somewhere. Ballers of the week. We want to highlight Raheem Sterling and Kevin De Bruyne. KDB. Excellent, excellent display in the victory. Let's pivot to the EPL roundup. And following up to the bugs of the week where Jamai Chelsea highlighted Dintil. I have to big up Mannings, my alma mater, for making the Doncaster Cup final. Ballers of the week. Big up yourself, Mannings. And big up to Teacher Hyde and Clarendon College for winning the Champions Cup. Ballers of the week. Big up. All right. And I can go on within a regular schedule programming now. Me done. All right. Now to round up, look, we just start. You guys, Anthony Marshall is on the screen. Let's get down to our EPL roundup and start with this Anthony Marshall and Ralf Rangnick back and forth in the press. Of course, following the game against Villa. Ralf Rangnick said, Marshall refused to be in the squad. Anthony Martial put out a statement, said he didn't refuse to play for Manchester United. Bottom line, somebody a tell lie.
No, I don't think anybody's telling a lie.
All right, yeah. All right. So clarify for me, you are the Manchester United fan.
Remember this. The last coach lied about Anthony Martial having an injury when he didn't want to play a game. So there is precedent here, right?
Marshall a liar.
Eh?
Marshall a liar.
I'm not saying Marshall is a liar. No. Marshall is looking for another club, right? Mm-hmm. He is supposed to go out and find another club. You don't want to play at Man U? Ralph, come out and say it earlier. You don't want to play, go find the next club, right? Now, I don't know what happened in that conversation. Ralph probably looked at Marshall and said, yo, you want to come sit up on the bench? Because you're not playing. You want to sit up on the bench? And Marshall said, no, I work for look for another club. Right? So Ralph come out and was asked a question. Why you never have Marshall the bench looked in? And Ralph said, oh, Marshall never want to play for me this weekend. Marshall in his statement said, I would never disrespect Manchester United. I will never turn on an opportunity to play. That conversation, and it's an Instagram post. I think this is the English media baiting Ralph Ragnick into putting himself into hot water.
Let's get the quote what Ralph said. Ralph said, quote, Anthony didn't want to be in the squad. He would have been in the squad normally, but he didn't want to, and that was the reason why he didn't travel with us. End quote.
So why? The next question should be, why didn't he want to be in the squad? I guarantee it's going to be, he's working on his transfer.
Yeah, all right. But to follow up.
But until you get the transfer, you're a Manchester United. All right. You know how I feel about players? They are human beings and they go through emotions, right?
Yes, yes.
So now we're going to say that both people are not telling lies. It's just something is lost in translation and something is missing. Some context is missing from there. Because if Marshall said, don't want to go, because he wasn't going to play. I don't say that. Because who would he have played over? Right? Yeah,
he would have come on for instead of Lingard.
In the 85th minute,
come on. Chasing the game. So he would have come on.
I don't blame him. I think the manager is in line, and I think Martial probably didn't say whatever. Maybe he said have a little knock. Maybe he said have a little knock on him, because that's the go-to. He have a little knock and him not really knock. Listen to me. At this point, the fans should not be upset with Martial. He, the player, is committed to Manchester United, but he was told that he will no longer play a role at Manchester United.
So, Junior, before we continue, let me get some context also involved in this, because there are multiple reports that there's an offer for a temporary, or what them call, aka a loan deal to Sevilla, right? We don't want to get lost in the weeds here, right? But Manchester United is requesting complete payment off his salary by whichever that club is who's going to take him on loan if it's Sevilla, and that club requiring also paying the fee for such transaction. I mean, is that being fair though? Normally, as my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, my understanding, when loan deals are constructed, the parent club or the club, there's some sort of sharing of said salary. You know, the club that's taking him on might say, all right, I'll take 60% of it and you hold 40. But Manchester United reportedly, I can't remember the journalist who highlighted this, Manchester United is asking for 100% coverage from the club that take him on. Is that lofty expectation when you're getting somebody on loan?
The reason why you are wrong, reason why it's not lofty expectation.
Yeah.
Man U has no intention of keeping Marshall.
Okay.
Pia is trying to loan him for free. Mm-hmm. Right? We look at it this way. Sevilla already want Marshall to be a Sevilla player point forward, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don't want to pay the 20 million or the 30 million, whatever it costs, mm-hmm. in January. They'd rather pay that in summer. Man U is saying, no, pay me now. If you don't want to pay me now and you want to loan the baller, pay 100% of his salary because he is not our player anymore. So you can't expect Man U now to say, all right, we take the loan. What if Marshall go Sevilla and flop? Man U will be paying 50% of a salary of a player that they don't want, and Sevilla is going to say the player flop, so we're not going to take him next year. So okay. Man U will be back to square one.
Hold on a second. Marshall leaving, Man U paying 50% versus Marshall staying, Man U pay 100% for a player who them don't have not them plans.
No, because you have other teams that are interested, or other teams that were showing interest.
Name one, Junior.
Barcelona.
Hey, you're gone too far now. Tony, you're gone too far now. You're gone too far now with the foolishness. Entertaining with the Broadway madness, but you're gone too far now with the Barcelona team.
Let's watch the space on the Anthony Martial. Another big news that occurred this week as we wait for Jervaine Brown to join us. We'll see what time he joins in. Rafa Benitez is officially out, Cameroon's big coach. it's not unexpected. And big up to Jug. Jug said, what, when you used to go mornings? Yeah, me left in 94, Jug. So I think we're in the same class then. Big up yourself, family. Go ahead, Cameroon, speak, wax lyrically about your big coach, Rafa Benitez, and the failure.
Rafa is going to bounce back. I did tell you. I said Everton have good pieces, but they're individuals when you see them on the pitch. That's just how it is. And listen, you can't have the best coach in the world come in, but if you don't have the world-class players who are playing in the system, then what you get? I mean, like, we did see the writing on the wall, but now they lost to Norwich. And not even say one goal like that. And you want to flip school. Is a 2-0 loss to the cellar dweller team. So Norwich was the straw that brought the camel's back. It is what it is. A coach's job is to win games for a particular club. He's not doing that, then he's not needed for the job. Rafa will bounce back. There are tons of teams out there. They're talking about Wayne Rooney going to coach Everton. Yeah, Everton, no ambition number anymore. So we expected Rafa. He couldn't get the best out of the players at Everton. And it's just time to move on. It's a performance-based job, and they weren't performing.
The thing that's perplexing for me, Junior, regardless Rafa sacking. Yes, the result, I think they lost, six or seven games recently on the trot. They took 19 points. Sitting in 16th position in the EPL. The thing that's confusing for me regarding this decision, the director of football, Marcel Brand, left in December, suggesting that they said, okay, Rafa, now you make decisions regarding football decisions. Lucas Digne just joined Aston Villa, who Rafa didn't like. So after those decisions, this which seemed to indicate to me that Rafa was getting the backing of the board and the club. No, Rafael, I guess it's just the Norwich thing that brought the camel back.
Sorry, Jonah, go on.
The death knell for Rafa was very early. When Rafa said, Jaime Rodriguez is not in his plan. Jaime Rodriguez is a fan favorite, right?
Which fan?
Remember Jaime Rodriguez?
Not Colombian. It's not a bunch of Colombians they are Everton in a brother.
Remember Jaime Rodriguez under Ancelotti at Everton. Man, play ball, right? So we're thinking like what about Real Madrid, Barcelona are one of them big name clubs. Everton is not a big name club. They are striving to be a big name club. And when a new coach come in and a youth play ball for them last year, that produced for them last year, and you come and say, he is not a part of our plans. Right away, you lost the fan base. And then now you're losing on top of it. So
I don't agree with losing the fan base. Our fans are so fickle. And I think results kind of make people have short-term memories. If Everton was in maybe 8th, or even where Arsenal is in 5th, we wouldn't hear no nonsense. And I think even though they were backing Rafa, I think losing games, and they're in trouble. They're not in the cellar, but they're not far from it. And if he's losing all those games, clearly they're thinking that he has no plans, and they're going to continue losing games, and they're going to get relegated. So I don't think Rafa really lost the fan base or lost the plot. It's just that he's not bringing in results, Junior. And even though with your coach, same thing. If he's not, if TT continue, if Chelsea, if we wake up next 3 weeks from now and Chelsea there in A, my mama tell us that the Russian will get rid of TT. Ah, you can still shake your head. Chelsea don't play like that. We're not as forgiving as Arsenal and Man.
Come on, come on. Rafa Benitez is a Liverpool legendary coach that came on to Everton. He did not have the fan base from jump. Everton are mortal enemies of Liverpool. And then you come and say, your baller is not a part of your plans. If I was an Evertonian, I would think this brother would come for sabotage my side. Because he still love Liverpool. These are fans. You cannot spell fans.
But, Junior, if Everton stood up on a winning streak, if Everton was sitting pretty in fifth, they would be singing Rafa's name. English fans are fickle. I mean, like, so fickle. And they are always about the performance. Any old Rafa did open a top five?
Yeah, man, he's good, man. If he would be fine. The results, whatever.
But the fact that Junior, you might write, say, they never like him from jump, and him a lose,
because it did start it well.
Like you see a guy out of road, him have a little bit of money, you say, all right, I'm interested. Then him lose the money, and on top of that, he ugly, two strikes, no, Papa, you're out. Same thing with Rafa.
All right, so where does Everton go from here now? Graham Potter, Wayne Rooney?
No, news reports are saying, like a couple hours ago, that they're waiting on the Belgium FA. So they're talking about
Roberto Martinez coming back.
Martinez.
What kind of foolishness is this? Do you think that would be a smart move?
But look at it, though. Coaching is like, it's a small circle. It's like, don't be surprised. You know, it's like an old man, some other guy. It's just small. So that's what they're saying. So they're waiting on the Belgium FA before them can really approach Martin.
There's a lot of noise about Graham Potter of Brighton. I mean, reportedly he's on the list according to multiple reports. I mean, if he probably won't get another opportunity for a bigger job than this. I mean, surely Arsenal, Liverpool's of the world, and Man City won't hire him. Everton might be right now. BSN going with Brighton is the best possible.
But why would he take it? Brighton is in ninth position. And Everton is, it's like you are a Bundesliga player and then decide, say, okay, I don't want to play Bundesliga anymore. Let me go play a fifth division in Germany. Like,
no, but the reason why you take it is that the access to resources, you know, Everton is building a new stadium, so things supposed to soon turn up. So the outlook for Everton.
Or that working out for Newcastle. So it's like, so your side is in ninth, sitting pretty, closer to the top than the bottom. You are going to go and take a side where it's the 16th. Remember, it's the same players Rafa have. Nothing special. The Brighton coach isn't more special than Rafa. So what is he going to do? Have a jolly good time in championship in the new stadium?
Good point. A very good point. But he's definitely on the list according to multiple reports. And he's... Junior, you regard him... You have him in high regards.
Of who in high regard?
Graham Potter, right?
No.
No? Okay, all right. I thought you watched lyrically about him a few episodes ago. About the work that he's doing at Brighton.
Big name coach.
Okay.
As a coach, we're going to go Everton and turn him into a top four team, no?
No, I mean, I think the aspiration is not necessarily to be at least no. You know, they want to stay up in the league and they want to be competitive. And they haven't been competitive.
Five hours ago, they're saying that Graham Potter is happy at Brighton and is currently not interested in the Everton job.
Okay.
No, all right. Why fire Rafa if top four is not your goal?
Why fire Rafa? Because I think they had, what, 7 or 8 game losing streak?
Doesn't matter. Why does it matter?
That's the results.
Look at your injury list.
Regardless.
Oh, I'm going to watch my team wife must have a box all in my head. Back. I'm like, why would you want all this pressure at Brighton? We're like, oh, it's Brighton. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, ninth? Wow. Look at Everton. It's like there's this expectation. I mean, like, how do you leave a cushy job where you can sleep at night time unbothered and in God's club where you're in a constant turmoil. You're an idiot. You would be a complete fool.
Some people like a challenge. Maybe Graham Potter like a challenge. You know. And the reason why I said...
You mean if you ask Kante all that working out for him?
Oh, Kante's...
It's not only that.
Yeah.
The unrealistic pressure of following two Champions League legendary winning coaches. You're following Carlo Ancelotti, and you're following Rafa Benitez, and you're expected to do a better job than those two coaches with the same side. No, it's not going to happen.
I mean, one thing that needs to happen, of course, he would have to secure time. You know, Rafa, should I get let go from him forward with Salomon Rondon? The same brother who was with him at Newcastle, then him went with him at China, and now him forward with him at Everton. That's not good. So, we will see.
But it's not unheard of. I mean, coaches are comfortable with a player. And they see something in the player that we probably don't see.
It's not unheard of, but the brother can't even, he might have the touch like Lukaku and can't score.
But yet, I
think Rondon scored one goal in 2 years.
But yet, Rodriguez is not a part of his plan. Are we going to sit on that?
The same brother, James Rodriguez, who had a problem with the weather, who said he must have been too cool, the condition was too slappy, or something like that. Didn't he make some comments like that when Ancelotti was there?
Did he play well under Ancelotti?
He played okay.
He played better than anything them have right now.
Nah, man. Fabian Allen is a good, solid player. Good, solid player. Fabian Allen's a good, solid player. He's holding in. And Demarai Gray. Big up to Demarai Gray. In fact, we'll get to the Marguerite and Jamaican passport in a second. All right, let's look at players on the field in the EPL because we have quite a few things to touch. And we're pushing up against the clock. Come on, you can't go around it. Chelsea lost to Manchester City. Your assessment, come on, because you can't go around it. I mean, cannot go around it.
What is there to say?
Break down the game. Give us your expert analysis. Dissect what the strategy 3-4 whatever them are playing. Let's get the inside looking from the vantage point of what exactly went wrong for big bad Chelsea.
What went wrong was that we did not score and Manchester City scored.
That is simple.
I think the best part of the team was the defense. The midfield was non-existent, and I think we had one shot on goal the entire game. We were up a lot of position of player, not no win ball game, but we were out possessed. And the scoreline is 1-0, but I think we were open. We were not good. And Chelsea is in deep trouble.
All right, Junior. Your assessment, Junior, of what went wrong for Chelsea in that game yesterday. I mean
Tuchel was thoroughly outcoached. And I don't know how you look at Man City and say we're going to defend the middle of the field if I'm Chelsea. And I'm going to leave the wings one on one. I don't know how you look at Manchester City and not fortify the wings. Now I know that Reece James and Chilwell is injured, right? We know that. But we have seen Chelsea employ a back five. Why they didn't employ a back five this weekend, I don't know. But that is where the game was won by City, by just playing on the wings. They wanted nothing to do with Kante, and Kante was more a spectator the whole game than playing in the game. And I'm not going to pick on Lukaku, but we see where the deficiencies lied. Where if you put a Ruben Diaz, or just any defender that is strong, and have speed around Lukaku, and is not afraid of his physicality, he will be neutralized. So that's all the game was.
So there's some conversation about building team around Lukaku. You know, the so-called, the experts in this space. I have heard Danny Higginbottom and Robbie Earle and NBC's coverage speaking of that. Does Chelsea need to build this team around Lukaku, or is that just fool's dream? And then secondly, the next question is, I mean, do you expect a team where Ziyech and Christian Pulisic to really supply Lukaku in a game against Man City?
But before, but no, come on, so let me answer real quick.
Yeah.
That is them playing TV. That's the dumbest comment I've ever heard in my life.
Okay.
You don't build a team around a player, and that player is the last player that you brought in.
Okay.
That's the dumbest thing ever. Lukaku was never in your plans. So you're not building a team around Lukaku. Lukaku is supposed to be the missing piece. Werner is failing as a striker. You bring Lukaku in to score goals. So we're not building a team around you. So this is a media hype trying to pit coach against player is the dumbest thing ever. If Lukaku was there from the academy and you're bringing in all these players, then we can have that conversation. But until then, that's just madness. Go ahead, come on.
So, but what about the Pulisic Ziyech starting? Sorry, come on.
Problem.
That's that not a problem.
Ziyech, Pulisic, and Mount.
Yeah.
They have three players for two positions.
So you went with the two worst ones.
Because I
personally think Mount should be starting over those two players.
But you see, Mount, because remember Tuchel tipped his hand early when Tuchel said, Pulisic is showing his versatility as a wing back, right? That, no, it's all funny. But when Tuchel said that, he's pretty much saying, my differentiating factor between Mount, Zilic and Pulisic is Zilic and Pulisic have the versatility in them to come back and play defense. You ever see Mount trap back for a ball yet? But Mr. Zilic and Pulisic do it. So that is why Mount's probably sitting up on the bench.
Okay, recovery. Okay. All right, come on.
I have nothing to say other than we need to get ourselves organized.
All right, I figured that you don't have anything to say about that game, but I'm sure you have a lot to say about Philippe Coutinho's performance against Manchester United. Come on, what a display.
I mean, yes, we just need... Listen, when a player is happy and comfortable, they play at their best. It is common sense. The fact that Man U fans thought that they were comfortable with 2-0 and then Steven Gerrard was like, no, no, no. And came back, and it was a very good display. Once Katina came on the pitch, the game kind of turned up. Aston Villa, I think, needs to get better in the final third. They create all the chances, and they cannot finish. And I think that's going to be their undoing. I think Tyrone Mings was solid. I always thought that Ollie Watkins is a very good player. Cash, for some reason, cash is growing on me. It just seems like everybody is playing attacking good football for Aston Villa. And maybe it's a Steven Gerrard effect. I'm happy that Coutinho is getting another opportunity to showcase his talent. He wants to be on the Brazil squad for this World Cup. And I mean, like, his first outing was good. Hopefully he can keep it up.
Yeah, so, and yeah, Junior, I know you're ready to chime in, but with all the stories, the headlines, this was expected that Philippe Coutinho would come on and do something, and Manchester United couldn't stop it from happening.
Thank you, Cameron. Thank you.
Let me do.
You highlighted the point that everybody knows. If not Manchester United fans got comfortable with a 2-0 lead, it's an inexperienced coach in the Premier League. I think he's still coaching in Bundesliga. Got comfortable with it. So Ralph Ragnit, welcome to the Premier League, you big idiot. We don't sit down and knock ball up 2-0 and next team lay down dead. This is the Premier League. So we sit down and we talk about Varane and how Varane looks soft on the ball. You see how Watkins put Varane on the bottom? Varane learning now. This is English Premier League. Not because we have a big badge from my chest, that means the players are afraid of me. Ralphie, you're learning right now in the English Premier League. You don't take your foot off the gas. When you see a big baller coming on, you take off Matic and you put on Phil Jones. Put somebody for complete defense. Don't play around with the game. So it's a learning experience. But we Manchester United fans knew the game wasn't done. I posted in the chat. See the general, come on. Man, you need a next goal. I said it. I'm right there, so Bruno scored. and it wasn't enough. So a wee newcomer one is Ralphie learning.
Oh, okay. I mean, Junior giving credit to come on for identifying. It's too, I snow, them say it's snow in Georgia, so maybe my drink liquor. but overall, you know, it's a good start for Coutinho, but I mean, surely you one don't expect him to continue at this level. I mean, at some point, week two, week three, the real Premier League intensity is going to get up to him when he has to play more minutes.
I don't think
so. The thing is this, we know the quality that he possesses. So it's like, not, what he did yesterday was not surprising. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can't say we expected it. This is what he does, you know? So I think he will do well, especially if Steven Gerrard plays to his strengths, rotate his squad, and just continue playing free-flowing football. It's like him go there and tell him, say, go on, go play. Because Coutinho was not even confined to one area. At one point, him run a back with Mings a defend, him depend the wings, right? Him up with Ollie, him up with the little young boy, when him Ramsey or whatever.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
he Jacob was Ramsey, in the yeah. right position when Varin missed to be right there. To so it's like we expected it to happen. And I think he'll just get better because him really have a point. Listen. There's no other footballer than a footballer with a chip on them shoulder, and we have a point to prove.
I agree.
Looking at the table, when you're gonna call it, Man City up 56 points, sitting on 56 points. They're 11 points ahead of Liverpool. Liverpool have a game in hand. Burnley down at bottom. Quick question though: Does Dean Smith save Norwich from relegation? Yeah.
Absolutely not. They're not good enough.
Okay.
They're not good enough. I can see maybe Newcastle hop, skipping, and jumping over there. And it's Burnley, Norwich, and Watford down there, whatever. But they're not good enough.
Okay. And so you guys are, your thoughts on the Chris Wood transfer to Newcastle? A target man. Is that somebody he's what scored, 10 goals for the last couple of years in the EPL?
With all that money, go out there and get a better striker. If you want to go to come in, Chris Wood to me is an okay signing. It's like a Benteke. I mean, like a Benteke signing to me. I mean, like Chris Wood is iffy. There are players out there, good strikers out there that they can spend some money because they have the money to come in. But they not only are having issues with scoring, their defense is also poor. So you could have 100 Chris Wood if your defense is still poor and you're letting in the goals, then Newcastle is into a world of trouble.
Okay. Junior, your thoughts as we wrap up the EPL and discuss some football in our backyard. And also, family, we want to get your thoughts on this whole issue with rules for match being postponed. Spurs put out a statement saying that they were, pretty much to paraphrase, they were disappointed that the London Derby was suspended or postponed. Of course, Arsenal has one COVID case. They have some injuries. They have players that are absent from African Cup of Nations. Your thoughts on that decision? Does the rule need to be changed to just exactly COVID only, or the rules are fine the way it is now?
I find it funny because the FA is coming out. I mean, whoever wrote the rule never think that a team would take advantage of the loopholes that are clearly stated in there.
Yeah.
It's COVID only. It's a special rule, COVID only. It's kind of like how the concussion rule for substitution is ironclad.
Yeah.
You cannot take advantage of it. If you have a concussion, fine, you can get a fourth substitution, right? They should have made it ironclad for COVID. Like, if 30% of your team, of your starting 11 is COVID positive, you have the option to appeal for a postponement of the game. And it's simple. But when you put all of these loopholes, I would have thought of those loopholes to a meal and duck Man City if I am Man U.
Or Chelsea.
Right? So, or Chelsea. Me not duck City.
So Didier Hamann, big baller Didier Hamann, tweeted, quote, Bayern Munich had a bench last Friday without a single Bundesliga appearance, yet they fulfilled the fixture. Premier League teams got squads up to 60 players and call games off on a weekly basis. What's the point having these young players? End quote. Come on, does he have a point? Do you agree with his position?
Before me, you even read the quote, let me say them have about 60 players overall that they can pull from.
Okay.
They have U23s,
yeah.
Right? That's a part of the academy.
Yeah.
You have those things. And I agree with him 100%. What is the purpose of having all these players? They play a developmental league. So what is the point of having them play for you not to be able to bring them on the bench? When Arsenal was thought of as a hospital with all those injuries, we never even hear about postponement and whatever, right? When Arsene Wenger come out and say, my 5-6 players injured, long-term injuries, short-term injuries, they never thought about rescheduling. So I agree 100%. Pull from your academy. Why are you having the academies anyway? Pull from them, bring some players up, and put them on the bench.
Yeah. All right, that's it for our EPL roundup. Let's look at AFCON quickly and update the fans on the standing in AFCON Cup of Nations before we get to Yard Ballers. And football family, just to remind you, we were supposed to have Javine Brown join us, but it looked like him now forward today. Texting back and forth with his rep, saying that they may have to reschedule. So we walk, we keep moving. Looking at the lay of the land in the African Cup of Nations, Group A, Cameroon already gone through. Group B, Guinea, Morocco, and Senegal. Morocco has gone through out of Group B, and Morocco is out of Group C. But the real standard bearer, in my opinion, has been Nigeria. Your thoughts on AFCON? Almost the first round is finished. Your thoughts, family?
Poor tournament.
Hey, well, watch him out.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's poor. Like, you have maybe 2 games so far out of all the games that we play that are really quality games. And even though we have stars, they have a Salah, you know, they have a Zaha, whatever. They have a Pepe. I mean, we talk about Pepe for when we talk about stars. But anyways, the quality is still poor. Like one game, I can't really stress a boy. We watch the entire 90 minutes without moving. But the others are just so poor. The goals, them before it was like a peer 1-0. The referees are not that good either. I am sorry, as a referee, the quality is so poor. I'm telling you, I'm glad them have VAR, because if they have VAR, they'll eat the furry supper because it would be shambolic. But hopefully, once they weed out the lower level team, and they get into the tournament, hopefully the tournament becomes better. Yeah. And El Pistolero is correct. Ivory Coast, a lot of chances came their way, and they could not put the game away. The goalkeeper, actually, for Ivory Coast, made a big blunder. But I do think it was the pitch.
Yeah.
The pitch them terrible. And I think he got caught in the pitch while the ball tumbled and put.
Come on. We watch NFL all the time. I'm gonna get them head beat off and I hold on to the ball.
All
goalkeeper Sangare in goal had to do for the Ivory Coast in minute 93 was hold on to the ball. No pressure.
But that's what he did. But Benton, that's what he did. He held up. It's not like he put the ball, picked the ball. He went to grab onto the ball. So anyways, but Ivory Coast is to be blamed, because if they had put away a couple chances, that one goal that him mess up and give away would not have really mattered. But it was good, 2-2, a lot of excitement. Algeria, the defending champion, it's not looking good for them. Today they didn't do good. Them lose to Equatorial Guinea. So the tournament needs a little bit of polishing. But overall, let's see what happens later down when all the big tournaments. Big games.
Yeah, big teams. Top two along with the best fourth place, the four best third place teams, top two in each group along with the best third place teams go on to the round of 16. Junior, your thoughts on the AFCON Cup of Nations And before you make a tag, we want to big up Bruce Farrell. Bruce Farrell said regarding the Arsenal thing and the suspension, Bruce says spectators don't come to see kids from academy. We'll touch that in a second. Come on, you can reply in a second. Junior, your thoughts on the AFCON Cup of Nations?
If you were to ask me to describe what African football is, the AFCON is that. And that's no slight against them, because Copa America is the same thing, where you see a lot of wild tackles. You see in South America, you see South American football. In AFCON, you are seeing the typical African football being played, where it is exciting if you like that style of football, where you see a lot of physicality, a lot of speed, a lot of athleticism, but then you also see a lot of breakdowns in the final third. So in a roundabout way, I am loving the fact that I am sitting at work in the morning and can have my computer up and watching competitive football. But is it something that I would skip work to watch? No.
Okay. Fair enough. And as we say, we hope the quality gets better as they move into the knockout phase of the competition.
And I don't expect that.
You don't expect that. Before we go to yard ballers, we can run through some of the comments, family.
Well, on the let me touch on the comment about
Yes. Go ahead.
So you wouldn't have 18 academy players, right? You would just fill the spots. They would be on the bench. And let us be honest, we have seen Klopp bring in young players, and we are like, oh, we hear about a player in a U23. Make we see. Trent was one of those players, right? So we have seen Klopp bring up players from the academy who fit right in, but actually play good. Arsenal can do that too. But it's not like you're going to use the academy players every game. It's just to keep the schedule moving and then to kind of fill the spots that Arsenal want. I just don't think they should have postponed the game for foolish. I mean, I'm not going to say foolishness, but they had enough players that they could just use the academy players on the bench. Who knows? We probably would have seen a breakout star where we make us say, about who?
Yeah, big up. Junior, we're going to highlight some more of the comments from the fan before we get to yard ballers.
Yeah, so Dejan said, Aston Villa needs a new centre-back. Mings is a trash centre-back. I never see a centre-back be so overrated. He doesn't do any of the basics of defense, right? Did he see who Arsenal bought for what 50 something million this summer? But so what Bruce said, the presidency has been yet from the start. The presidency has been yet from the start of the season. Oh, precedents. The precedence has been set from the start of the season. And Bruce
the postponements of the games.
Bruce's comment, in my opinion,
is
the FA's rule.
Okay,
that is the reason for the FA rule being so arbitrary, giving the teams the option to not only use COVID, but if you have COVID plus a baller, their Afghan plus a baller have a sprained ankle, you can use that and postpone a game. So there's some truth to both on you and Bruce and Camon. I think Camon is coming from the pure football perspective. Bruce is coming from the business side.
And some Arsenal fans said, you know, speaking to a couple of them when the EFL Cup match semi-final with Liverpool was postponed. Man, them said Liverpool are run because Liverpool turned out to have what was false positive COVID test, right? And the game was postponed. So the rules need some more clarification.
But that's just banter, though. At the end of the day, it's banter, because the rule is a rule. And let's remember, the English Premier League is not like the NFL with Roger Goodell. It is the actual teams that have to agree on these rules. So Tottenham is complaining about a rule that they agreed to. The rule would have never been written like this if teams had come out and said it had to be COVID only. It's just unfortunate for Tottenham that they get hurt by the rule before them could use the rule and hurt somebody else.
Yeah, Tottenham did ready for done aside.
Just banter.
All right. Any other comments you want to highlight, family? El Pistolero is saying that the rules need to be for COVID only and just that.
Villa, he said Villa would be good with Calvert-Lewin. A fit Calvert-Lewin, Ings and Watkins are like the same for me. So that means a Bailey gun in a El Pistolero. El Pistolero say it, not we. He say he can also call it now. I guess say Man City is the champions. Chris Wood is a good signing for Newcastle. They now can have a forward who will go good, who will do good from crosses. And you know who Chris Wood remind me of? What the tall brother would go from Newcastle to Liverpool or from Liverpool to Newcastle? Look, yeah. The English brother.
Peter Crouch.
Oh man, not Peter Crouch. The next one. The next Peter Crouch.
I have no idea. Because you said tall, so I guess Peter Crouch.
I mean, no El Pistolero. Liverpool fans, I'm going to tell you, welcome on the ball.
From where? From Liverpool to where?
He was at Newcastle. Either he went from Newcastle to Liverpool or from Liverpool to Newcastle. He was after Peter Crouch. Big tall brother, man. Him a ponytail, black hair. Tall like Peter Crouch, but him not lanky.
I'm not Andy Carroll yet, huh?
Andy Carroll.
Yeah, CM1. Look at you, come on. Oh, look at... This is why we have ball chat knowledge. Yes, the CM Rock. Andy Carroll, him good night here.
But Andy Carroll wasn't the rocks at Newcastle, no.
So no, Chris, the injury slow him down.
The what slow him down?
And Crime Minister says, yes, Andy Carroll. Yes, yes, yes. He was lethal in the ear, right? But, yeah. I mean, isn't it a stretch for say Andy Carroll and Chris Wood in the same boat? Because isn't Andy Carroll another notch above Chris Wood?
Yeah, well, in their wedding now at 33 years old. So,
Junior, you want to clean up the talk, man?
No.
No.
Liverpool fans are going to kneel me, watch it.
All right, let's get to Yard Ballers. So before we move to Yard Ballers, we want to know, so Jamaica are playing Peru this week, right? So we have to remind the family the game's still on, right? Jamaica versus
the game is still on, according to Earl Bailey. So I think they leave tomorrow in two groups. Kayim Paris turned down the call up. I didn't see the reason why he turned it down. So Malik Howell is a defender replacing Kayim Paris in the squad. And I think Jamaica plays Peru on the 20th.
Yes, 20th, so, at 4 p.m. Eastern time, which I guess is the same time Jamaica time. So are we doing a watch along for this game this Thursday?
I would, yeah.
All right, forward. Midea. Wait.
But they have enough now. But anyway, so they might leave the 17th for a game on the 20th. So Shamar Nicholson turned down the call up. I mean, it's a friendly. I mean, like, no, actually, my apologies. Him say him now come up for the World Cup qualification.
We need to talk about this for a little bit.
But to my understanding, it's in his contract that, submit here, I don't know what it is. But I understand if he says he needs time to gel with his teammates and get comfortable. Next game is what? In 3 weeks?
We play in Mexico. So, but the Spartak mascot...
I understand it is that JFF knew about it before and Shamar's agent. But it's just so funny that Shamar's agent is the same agent for Kayim Paris. And they both... Kayim Paris turned down this friendly call-up and Kayim Paris needed it. Shamar, I don't know.
You know, all right, I always said next man up, yo, we are work, we have chicken, and a chicken we are jerk, as IT and Fancy Cat said. So next man, step up and play some ball.
Well, but, everybody away from Damari Gray, only for years said Damari Gray passport already. He's not going to be able to play against Mexico for us. Listen, if Captain Arias Burrell was alive, them passport thing I wouldn't have.
Yeah, the passport thing there.
Get passport. It's madness. The JFF know a long time ago that Damari Gray wanted to play for, I don't know if he wanted, but he forced to. play for Jamaica should be on the ball because we need it, especially now that we're not going to have Shamar Nichols.
So but come on. So on this Shamar Nichols thing, the club doesn't have any matches until February, official matches. They have a friendly game on January 28th. So a man couldn't forward for a World Cup qualifier over on friendly. You know the contracts. You are agent, exact, extraordinary, or whatever you want to call you. You couldn't draft them, think they're not contract to say, yo, the man for go play for him country.
The club needs him. What them there? What position in there? I think them don't a goalie. 12, 9, 6, something. They're not up top. Right? Let me look. Shakhtar. So, I mean, like, if they want him to get accustomed to the... They pay too much money for him to say, all right, then, what if him get injured? What if him go play for Jamaica against Mexico and get injured? So the club is looking out for
fair
them
enough.
Interest. Listen, shock at this point. Mr. People and Niam Shamar, at this point, Shamar, get your food, get your money. It is what it is. If he goes out there and gets injured and can't play for his club, the club is out of money and Shamar will be out of.
And fair enough, is that you were always forward still. I mean, in the previous games. So he was there for Coach Tapper, et cetera, and the boys and the process. So
okay.
So we'll just keep moving.
I just think he'll be out. I mean, okay. I'm not, you know, it is what it is.
Minotes Junior very quiet on this one still.
No, because we don't understand all we talk about European players. Oh, come on, sir. They're not robots. They're humans. They blah, 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 blah. But then what about Shamar Nichols like he's a robot? What is Jamaica playing for? Nothing. So why would Shamar Nichols come to play for Jamaica and have everything to risk? He got the ultimate prize. This year, that every player that is playing for Jamaica, that is local based, are not playing at a big club, is playing for, right? Spartak Moscow is probably the highest that he can get this year in terms of club level. There's nothing else for me to play for. So me, I am going to sit on this and secure my money. Plus the one on the run on Mikel Antonio. So don't go make Mikel Antonio.
Oh, all right.
They're in ninth place, right? Not them in a ninth place and pay a whole heap of money for him. So if he wants to get used to the climate, get used to the people, get into, you know, training, really? So you have to tell me, say, God forbid Shamar Nichols to get injured tomorrow. The world is on fire. We can't move on.
Yeah, fair enough.
Money,
yeah.
Money and whatever. So yeah, it is what enough. It is. I am just, Shamar is okay. I am just so, unless Caim Paris is working on a transfer to turn down to play for Jamaica, even though it's a friendly, because he could go and impress Paul Hall, and Paul was like, oh, we need this young man in the World Cup qualification stages. So that's puzzling. But anyways, good luck to both of them. So today, the Jamaica Premier League started back. The players are taking the knee before the start of the game. They're talking about they're taking the knee to symbolize the unity when it comes to was violence and crime in Jamaica. So it's just like taking a knee against racism. The players are taking a knee against violence and, you know, whatever, Jamaica. So
somebody needs to take a stand, cause they gone to the dog. Big up Premier League.
Yeah, that was interesting to see. So that was interesting to see. So a little bit of transfer news, nothing crazy. We know Shamar gone, we know Junior Fleming's gone, and now Damian Lord into Miami. Rashan Daly is now with Hartford. Peter Lee Vassell is also now at Hartford. And a name we don't hear often, Cardell Benbow, he left, what's your team name? What Tigger did there? Mount Pleasant, and he's now with Waterhouse, and I think he had a good game today from what I've been hearing everybody say. So congrats to Craig Butler and Mona. They beat KT 5-0 to reach the final. I think they will meet St. Catherine in the final, so good luck to him. I watched a little bit of the game. We can laugh at Craig Butler if we want, but we saw a little bit of good things from the young men. Congrats to St. Catherine for reaching the finals of the Walker Cup. They beat Excelsior on penalties. That was the worst penalty shootout I have seen in a minute. I mean, like, everybody missed. It was just ridiculous. Clarendon College won the Issa Champions Cup after defeating Dintel 1-0. Today, Waterhouse beat Mobe United 2-1. Benton, your side.
Rina.
All right, Boaty. And Cavalier beat Arnett Gardens 2-1. So the Premier League starts today. Tomorrow, Jamaica meets Dumbeholden and Tivoli meets Portmore. So that's it.
So, but how come you don't highlight the Doncaster Cup final? I mean, that me notice you're a big up Walker Cup final.
Yeah? I actually heard you say congrats to Mannings already, so we're not going to touch.
So, but who am I playing?
I don't know who them are playing. We don't watch football. We don't watch country football. Sorry.
So Dintel lost to Mannings, and Garvey Maseo, I think, defeated Clarendon in the other semifinal. Somebody can correct me. Damian Lowe to Inter Miami deal. Your thoughts on that news, family? Good move, right? He come back from Africa, from El Etihad, closer to yard. I mean, this is something good for him, right?
I mean, it is. It is. I mean, a job is a job. He will come in. MLS is good enough for Damian. Damian is what, 29? No, a 2-year contract with the club option. I mean, like, earn your money. His family is in Miami. The weather is nice. We expect to see Damian on the beach every day because it's a good situation for him to be in. So it's good. I know he wasn't happy when he was in Egypt. So this is a very good move for him.
Yeah, yeah. Junior, any thoughts on this move for Damian?
Yeah, I echo what come on. So I'm happy for him. Happy for the ball. Them are getting the money. And in this COVID time, it's good that Jamaicans are being recognized for their talent. So hopefully Damian Lowe can go over there and keep opening the pipeline where MLS don't have to go Europe and look for them next big baller. Look to the Caribbean. So big up Damian Lowe.
Yeah, and so Thursday against Peru, Reggae Boys friendly first game for Paul Hall, 4 p.m. Do we have any expectations?
No, not all. And you're right. Mannings and Garvey Maseo advanced to the D-Cup final.
All right,
here,
thank you.
Paul Hall come out and say he was surprised with the Shamar Nicholas thing. So I don't expect anything. I don't know nothing.
Yeah, he said he was surprised. What are you looking for? So what kind of system? He spoke about attacking football. Are we just not here? We just need to win against Mexico.
When? Well, we're talking about World Cup or we're talking about Peru?
No, we're talking about Peru first, but Mexico is the ultimate prize, the World Cup qualifier. So, irregardless of what happened against Peru, I just win against Mexico, may I say?
Yeah.
And look here, I don't know if Mexico is the same Mexico, you know, that we saw the last round where they were wounded and they were not in good shape. I don't know if they're going to recoup and come back and decide that we're going to be them beaten stick. I don't know. We don't have much faith. I think Leon Bailey is going to be out. He still has not recovered from his injury because we don't even see him on the bench for Aston Villa. Shamar is not going to be there. They were hoping for Damari Gray. He's not going to be there. I think they're talking about bringing Andre Gray, the striker, back in. Who else? They should get Junior Fleming's his club, unless his club saying can't come. You know, so I think I'm going to bring up a local player. I see that Javon Watson is going to Peru. Maybe Javon Watson is still in the World Cup qualification squad. So, you know, I want to see the players that he's taking to Peru. They have been training because most are local. I have been always asking about Akwasa trying for the longest while because he has been scoring goals in Jamaica. You can't have a local player scoring the goals and you don't have him, you know, whatever, with the team when they're going away. So, I want to see how it plays out and then see if he's going to pick any of those players to fill any World Cup qualification squad. So,
and just to highlight one more thing too, because I give the impression like Jamaica has no chance, right? And it's an unfortunate situation But we have no idea how much Alphonso Davies' loss to Canada will affect Canada's qualification run. Yes, they might be too far gone where nobody can catch them. But the teams them that have Canada left on their schedule, I know it's only one player. But there's no telling how big of a loss he would be. How would the loss of Alphonso Davies affect the other teams running for the World Cup qualification? So yes, I make it look like is we in dire straits, and I'm no fool. I tell you the truth, Jamaica is in a hopeless, perilous situation, but the door is cracked a little bit open. And we don't know what we're going to do with far.
Junior, I don't even know if it's tackle over that one. I completely disagree. Alphonso Davies is good, but Canada clicking. There are a couple of players who made the jump from MLS and Ghana, Europe now. Tejan Buchanan. The other one from Toronto.
Uh-huh.
I think Alphonso will be a loss, but not too great of a loss for Canada. So the door won't open for who? We are the other team them. Are we going to say door open for? All you mean?
No, but come on. You know, saying that your heart's a heart. You are the one who are cheerleading, so we still have a chance.
I am hoping, but I'm not a fool. So yeah. I am not going to sit here. Canada is still okay without Alphonso Davies.
Come on. Alphonso Davies is the best footballer in CONCACAF. He is a...
Who not Medellin Bailey people? Your assessor.
What?
Yeah,
I'm making me assessor. Who make who assessor? Leon Bailey people?
Yes.
Leon Bailey people. Alphonso Davies is the best playing footballer in CONCACAF.
Don't let the Christian Pulisic people them your assessor.
Davies is the best playing. Keyword play in.
Okay, playing.
But Junior, and that is true. But listen, Canada clicking, and I think. Look here, listen. This is how I view Canada. When my brother was little bit, him love pull apart things. Him pull apart my mother radio. Me not know for what reason. Cause that were pull apart mommy radio, put it back together. The radio player turn on everything as before. When we look at ground, there was a screw. One screwed upon the ground. But guess what? The radio still at work. Alphonso is that screw. And I think the Canada will be okay. Mexico is not Mexico. None of them go back for reinforcements. But the players on Canada's side, I think they believe in the coach, believe in their system. Believe in each other. Yo, Mr. Canada makes some no look pass. And I'm like, who is this? Barcelona? So we think even with Alphonso's speed and strength, Canada's still all right.
Yeah,
all
just right. To let the listeners know the squad for the Paul Hall first squad for Peru. Jamaica's friendly game against Peru. Miller, White, Knight, those are the goalkeepers. Defenders, Lua, King, Tope, Lawrence, Brown. Yeah, Mr. Brown was supposed to join us today, but Mr. Brown missing in action. His people say he might have got rescheduled. Midfielders, Javon Watson, Kevon Lambert, Shaw, Camon's favorite baller, Kevon Lambert, is there. Ramon Howell, Devon Williams, Peter Lee Vasso, Lamar Walker up front. The attackers, the Marshall, Atkinson, Beckford, Mr. Paris turned down the call, right? And Campbell, Fletcher, Burke, and Chong.
Malik Powell.
Oh, so Malik Powell replaced Mr. Campbell. Mr. Paris.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that, well, we're looking forward. Because man say he want to play attacking football. Peru versus the Reggae Boys. This Thursday. Right?
Peru, all right. Peru is okay. But your boy play for Peru, no? Where I'm Almiron, I'm not Peru play for.
No, he plays for Paraguay.
Who your boy from Atlanta play for?
Venezuela.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, my guy with a little port up on him nose. He's still a player for Peru.
Hold up. Is that Guerrero?
You know my man But they get Ban Junior, man, because him them friend them sister want a tattoo on his neck.
Oh yeah, I remember that player. Yeah, I think he retired. I think he
really.
Yeah, so that them big ball of your long time was far fun, you know.
He got a Medellin. He got a Colombian.
Farfan was the general for them. I mean, and you guys know it's a Farfan. Number 10 was brutal, big baller. But, I mean, who knows? Jamaica right now is just need to play some ball. We need to see Paul Hall system. I am looking forward to the friendly on Thursday. Let me see what I go on.
Well, and you say he's not retired for Peru.
I thought he did. I could be wrong.
At
38, he's still up.
Yo, if 38, even up on the man, the man low must just wipe him out clean. I'm not going in 38 year old stuff. Anyways, it's going to be interesting to see Peru play. So, with Jamaica, because most of the players are young for Jamaica. We have young, strong players.
So, but this squad, though, I mean, you just have a supplement with a Mikel Antonio. I mean, is your baller from Derby County coming back again? Ravel Marcy, is he returning?
Of course, Ravel returning. Ravel and Paul all guy.
Okay. So, is Tariq McGee? What? So, who do you supplement for the World Cup qualifiers here? I mean, you just have to take out some people.
Junior Femmins.
Yeah, Junior Femmins. Yeah, yeah.
Who else? I mean, like, these are the only reason why it's so much local players are because it's not a FIFA window and somebody and the Englishman in Nala. I mean, like, what's his name from Bournemouth? From Brenton, Pinnock.
So Pinnock is returning.
Yeah, I mean, why wouldn't Pinnock return? I mean, you know, if Paul Hall is the coach, I can see him bringing in the players them from overseas.
Okay.
So him, Ravel. Mikel Antonio, who else? Jamal Lowe,
Andre Gray, Liam Moore.
Yeah, so you basically know the core. You know, with the goalkeeper. So I mean, like, there's nothing. This is an experiment. We don't expect to see Alex Marshall, Adeshian Beckford. Adeshian Beckford, him have a club. Did Montego Bay call him back? As I was looking to see if him gone back at Charleston Battery. When I see them announce it. Peter Lee Vassal, him just gone to Hartford. So we don't expect to see most of these players in the squad. But I can be wrong. Let us see how it goes.
All right, family. Yo, we're gone. We over time, you know. Yo, Makuguma we yard, yeah, man. Makuguma we yard. Reggae Boys versus Peru this Thursday. We are doing a watch along, Junior. We say 4 p.m. family. We're doing a watch along.
I have to check my schedule. So.
Paul Hall's first game in charge. Looking forward to it. Big up to the family. Football family, really appreciate you joining us. You can connect with us on Instagram at Ball Chat Podcast. We're on Twitter at Ball Chat One. We're on Facebook. By the way, make sure you send a subscribe to Ball Chat. Subscribe to Ball Chat YouTube page. Subscribe to Ball Chat Facebook page. Wall-to-wall coverage of everything football, African, EPL, La Liga, and what's going to happen with the Reggae Boys when they play Peru on Thursday. Paul Hall's first. So, you know, make sure you smash the like button also, family. Come on, Junior. We're going to be hard now, family.